We just want to thank everyone for joining us today. What a great opportunity to come right there into your home or right there into your office or your life and let you know that Jesus cares about you. He loves you. And we're in a series right now entitled, I Have a Friend. I Have a Friend. So we're going to talk today a little bit about I have a friend who makes bad choices or who makes bad decisions. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you're in a situation right now where you're making bad decisions, poor choices. And we're going to find out that there's truth and that there's hope even for us who have made poor choices. Church, why don't we clap our hands for everyone that's joined us today through media. Thanks a lot. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It is an amazing book that helps us to understand life. It has a lot in there about decisions and choices. And I want to focus on a verse, a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, this verse and these verses have been a source of help many times in my own life when I was having to make a decision or I had choices before me or I was trying to figure out what am I going to do in my life and how do I handle this next season of life or which way do I need to go? Or Lord God, help me to get it plain because I don't understand. I don't have all the facts. When I'm in a moment where I'm weighing the pros and the cons, I'm trying to decide what should I do. I don't know how many times I have looked to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and it has brought comfort to my life. It has brought some stability when things were shaky. It helped me to get planted on something solid. To put my eyes towards something that could help me move, you know, not be so wobbly in my decisions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 gives direction when it is concerning decisions. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, everybody say all. All your ways, acknowledge Him. And then there's a promise that happens. And He will make your path straight, or He will direct your path. So there's some challenges, there's some commandment, there's some conditions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge, recognize Him, and He will direct your path. You know, there's been times in my life where I was having to choose or trying to figure out or trying to sort through something. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 would maybe come up into my heart or I would go to that scripture. And it would just bring me comfort to know that if I will acknowledge Him and if I will look to Him as first and I will turn things over to Him and I will move forward in truth, that God is going to direct my path, that I'm not alone, that I don't have to live confused, that I don't have to live just kind of, sounds like a good idea. Just, you know, that there's some sovereign direction in my life. And it has given me promise before so often. Now, as I was reading that passage of Scripture the last couple of days, I kind of have an imagination. And so I imagine what would that verse look like in the reality of bad decisions? What would be the opposite of that verse? If we flipped it, if we just changed it up and said, now, what would that verse be like in the reality of making poor choices? So I just read to you in the NIV. That was the NIV version. So I'm going to read you now a version of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the NRV, which is the not really version. Can I have a good amen? This is not really the Bible. Not really the Bible. So it's not the Bible. It's just my imagination of what is life when you resist that. What is the opposite of that when we take things in our own hands? So this is the NRV. I know Revelation chapter 22 says, don't add to the word, don't take away from the word. This is not the word of God. Okay, this is Dino in my imagination. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the NRV. Be wise in your own eyes. Put God tenth. Serve Him half-hearted. Blame everyone for your problems. and then try to figure out everything on your own, and you will live in one big cycle of pain, confusion, indecisiveness forever and ever. Amen. That's the NRV. You say, Dino, that is crazy. You've lost your mind. Can I tell you? I think too often we are living in the NRV instead of God's version. Is anybody hearing me at 10 o'clock? I think too often we may laugh at that and we may make fun of that and we may think that's crazy. But in reality, sometimes we are wise in our own eyes. Maybe we go through a season of our life where God is 10th. Matter of fact, if he was 10th, it would be good. But we go through a season where he's not even on the chart. We serve him half-hearted. And then when everything goes wrong, guess what? We blame him and everybody else for our bad decisions and our poor choices. Then we try to figure out everything on our own. Or we get influence from crazy people. How many know there are crazy people in the world? And some of them are our friends. Don't point. It's not a good place to point. We try to figure out everything on our own, and guess what? You know what the result is? You know what the promise is? We live in one big cycle. Pain, confusion, indecisiveness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's a lot of reasons. Why do people make bad choices? Are we the only ones that make bad choices? And here's the thought, is there anything we can do about poor choices? I ran across a scripture that sums up the struggle, because all throughout scripture you see people, it started with Adam and Eve, even their children, Cain and Abel. I could list dozens of people in the Bible that you and I learned from, that you and I look to as spiritual models, disciples, apostles, all people all throughout the Old Testament who made some bad choices. But there's interesting, in Romans chapter 7, there's this struggle that is summed up. And the Apostle Paul, in the context of the life of Christ and following the instructions of new life, he kind of unpacks a real, raw, transparent struggle that a lot of times we face as it relates to the tug of war, the tug of good choices, bad choices. It's kind of the picture of the little devil on our shoulder, the little angel on our shoulder, and it's the conversation that goes on just to kind of cartoon it. But in reality, Paul is speaking of this tug of war that happens on the inside of us about decisions and choices and life and future. And it's an amazing passage of scripture. It's in Romans chapter 7. I'll read out of the Message version. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I can anticipate the response that is coming, Paul says. I know that all God's commandments are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. And I love what Paul says here. I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, catch these words, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really don't do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Look what he says. It happens so regularly, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in the delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. And I love his honesty. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Paul just kind of opens up his soul right between Romans 6 and Romans 8, where there's so much life, so much truth, and so much new beginning. He opens up his soul and he just kind of paints the struggle. It's a great picture of us. I had lunch with some friends this week. There's about eight of us and we were eating lunch and I just kind of threw out this question. So let's all be honest. Here's what we're going to talk about this weekend. I'd like to include you in the conversation and see what God says to us. Maybe here, even this lunch, what was your worst decision? I mean, how many knows that'll hold up a lunch automatically? I'll just, what are you asking me? Did you ask me to pass the guacamole or did you ask me what was my worst decision? I want to know. Tell me some of your just jughead stinky decisions. Just tell me a few of them. And so we started off and it was a little lighter for us. I said, come on, let's go a little deeper. Just what was a bad choice you made in life? When you look back, there's a little bit of regret. And so different people at the table started sharing them. And after they would share their decisions, because we know them now, we know them in the grace and in the light of what God has done in their life now. And, you know, you're just like, whoa, dude, ouch. I mean, Johnny shared something. I was like, wow, brother, bow your head. I mean, it's just interesting. We're just sharing decisions, sharing choices. I shared mine, bruh. Yikes. Wow. What were you thinking? I wasn't. That's the whole deal. I wasn't thinking. We shared these things. What were some of the takeaways? No one really wants to make a bad choice. I don't think you plan your week out and say, I'll tell you what, Monday we're going to go work out. Tuesday I'm going to the dry cleaner. Wednesday I'm going to make some of the worst decisions in my life around 1 o'clock. Heads up. I mean, Thursday, I'm going to ruin some people's lives. I'm going to make bad choices. See Thursday at 1. You really don't plan to make bad choices. We kind of sum them up in a lot of different ways. But it's interesting, we could all pack them in a few areas. One was relational, and some of it even was in poor choices in relationship. Maybe before we knew Christ, or there was conversation about bad relationships that went in a wrong direction. Maybe immorality, sexual things like that. So that was kind of summed up in there. Then there was another whole category about financial decisions. Whoa, didn't even think through that. And even somebody said, I'm still paying the bill of a bad choice. And matter of fact, I'm paying interest on the bad choice. Someone said, matter of fact, I'm paying for something I don't even own anymore. It's a bad choice. We talked about bad environment. How a lot of them were fitting into a bad environment. Being in a bad environment. Just being in a bad place in life. Wrong people, wrong moment. Poor choices. We listed some of the reasons why we make bad choices. You see these all throughout Scripture. Fear. How often does someone in the Bible just kind of get ahead of God? Try to make, can we talk about Abraham? Abraham had a promise, but he just kind of took promise in his own hands and tried to work some things out. We talked about fear. How about this? Impatience. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't look holy on me on that one. How often have we rushed it? How often could we not wait? Got it. Right now, right now, right now, right now. And it turned into a bad decision. Not using wisdom. Caught in just a bad moment. Being sidetracked, getting distracted by the things of the world, wrong environment, the company that we keep, pride, lust, desire. We wrote this down. The trance of where you get in a trance and you no longer think about consequences. You just don't think there's no consequences. You make a choice, you make a decision, and you no longer remember that there are consequences. Guess what? What you sow is what you reap. There are consequences to decision. We always say it. Decisions are like dominoes. When you make one decision, it can affect another decision. Then you get married and the dominoes pick up speed. And then you have children and now the dominoes start going in other directions. You don't make isolated decisions. You make decisions that affect other people. We see this all throughout Scripture. We see this in the life of the disciples. We see this in the life of David. We see this over and over again, where decisions were like dominoes. So the question is, what do we do? Are we just prone and are we just trapped? And is there nothing we can do about kind of poor choice land? Am I just going to always live in bad decision, you know, neighborhood? Is that just my life? Can I not make a decision? Is everything just kind of a guess? Do I live by guessing? Well, Paul didn't leave us hanging. And we left off reading at verse 24. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? But I'm glad the Bible doesn't stop in verse 24. There is a verse 25. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Chapter 8, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under this continuous, watch this church, low-lying black cloud. Do you feel like you're in a cloud? You just can't see? What am I doing? Bad decision, poor choice, over and over again. But the Bible says a new power is at operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Doesn't stop there. He goes on to describe what Jesus did for us at Calvary. God went for the jugular when he sent his son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered this disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. I have done the work for you. I'm going to pay a price you can't pay. I'm going to take care of things you can't take care of. Now you need to trust me. You've got to surrender your life to me. And it's just not a moment. Oh, thank God for every person that says yes to Jesus. Yes to him being their Savior. But can I tell you, there's something else you say yes to. You say yes to his Lordship. You say yes to his Lordship. It's in his Lordship that there's direction. See, Lordship says that there's somebody else in charge. Lordship says that there's somebody else on the throne of my decision making. So I'm going to now make decisions based on the Lordship of Jesus Christ over my life, over my marriage, over my family, over my kids, over my business, my resources, my future. It's all going to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? Oh, how things are so much better under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I looked at this, Romans chapter 7, that struggle. I wrote down a few things I want us to remember about a bad choice. Here's the first thing. You will never change what you continue to tolerate. Never change what you continue to tolerate. Oh, how important that is. I believe God, I heard Dave Wilkerson say this one time. He said, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe God will work with anyone who hates their sin. I believe there's somebody who just says, you know, I'm just tired of it. That's not the way I want to live. It's not me. That's not how I want my life to be defined. I don't want to live in that. I believe God will give mercy. But if you live in denial, that's just how I am. My daddy was that way and I'm going to be that way. You better get out of my face. I believe in that type of mode, in that type of zone, where it's everybody's fault but yours, where I can't help myself, the devil made me do it, I'm just prone, I'm just bent. I believe in that type of zone, it's going to be tough. But if you'll decide, you know what, this mouth of mine is nothing like Jesus. These thoughts and decisions, they're not like Christ. This action, it's not like the Lord. I don't want to live that way anymore. It's not how I believe if we continue to hate our sin, I believe God will always show mercy. Because you can't change what you continue to tolerate. It's just not going to happen. Here's the second thing I want us to remember about choices. Right voices, right choices. Right voices, right choices. One more time. Right voices, right choices. What voice are you listening to? John chapter 10. Jesus unpacks it real good for us. He says, I'm your shepherd. I know you by name. I call you by name. And my sheep, do not follow the voice of a stranger. They don't know, they don't even recognize it. What does that tell us? We can know God's voice for our life. And when a stranger calls us, we realize that's not the voice of God. That is not the Lord's will for my life. You know, it's interesting how we can be at the McDonald's playland and there can be a gabillion kids stuck in the slide. But when your child, "Mama, that's my baby. Get out of my way." A mama will hurt somebody because their baby is stuck in the slide. And you're like, "Baby, there's like 1,000 kids." "Wah! I heard the voice of my child." You can know. Has anybody ever tried to play a prank on you and about 4 or 5 words into it? "Man, don't be calling me, Luke. What are you doing? Dude, how'd you know? I know your voice." Sometimes I'll call Delin and try to act like somebody else. She's like, "Dina, it's you. Don't call me. What are you doing?" You know, just you go out. You know the voice. You recognize that voice. You can be somewhere. Somebody call, "Hey, what's up? Yo, what's up?" And you hear the voice. And you don't see him, but you know, "That's Crazy John. Where's he at? What up, John?
Hey."
You knew his voice. You could call. I mean, when Delin and I were dating, we used to, and first got married, we went to these, what do you call these things? These like country show fair crab shows. Oh my gosh. I need therapy. We went to craft shows, and everywhere you went, there were these mauve and blue bunnies and geese and ducks and benches and flowers and hats and geese with hats on. And where do they get hats from? How do they fly with a hat? We went to these craft shows, and I would forever get lost because I'd find the food. Talk to me, somebody. How can a man at a craft show walk by the pork rinds? Come on, help a brother out. She keeps shopping. I'd get stuck by the pork rinds. I'd find chicken on a stick. I'd find something. I'd get involved. And then I'd look up. She'd be gone. And there are a gabillion women and about 10 men with me. And so I learned to holler for her. Do you remember that? I would holler. And it was just a holler that I would do. And she knew it was me. I didn't want to call her name. I just, this desperation of being caught between a faux finished shirt and a bunny. Lord, I'd be a rich man. And so And I'd see her step out of a craft show. She'd have like a mauve toilet paper holder. "What, baby? I'm right here. 10 toilet paper holders and the paper towel holders. We're going to get a few more to add to our 8. Yeah, I still got issues. I'm still bitter." She took me to a place called Canton. It's the whole city, guys. If your wife ever tells you, "Can we go to Canton Saturday?" Run. Run. Remodel the house. Spend all kind of money. Don't go to Canton. What was I? Where do we go? Oh, voices. Thank you, Johnny Green. You're too young to know about any of that. But she would recognize my voice out of thousands of people. Right voices, right choices. What voices are you allowing into your decisions? There are some people you need to say, "Your life is falling apart and you're trying to tell me how to live. Please, my brother." There are voices that you need to keep out of certain choices. Well, Dino, how do I know the difference? Always remember this. How do I know God's voice? He writes the same way He speaks. He speaks the same way He writes. There is 66 books, and there's plenty for Him to tell you about. There's a whole lot of choices and decisions that have already been made for us right here. So we need to know the voice of God through His Word. Here's the third thing, a few more things. I just want to encourage you. You can't turn the clock back. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a time machine? And we get in the time machine. Do. Got to go back to 94. Got to change things. Got to change things. Got to get back to 94. Got to go back to 1982. And got to live back in the day, cool in the gang. If I can just get back to celebration, I can change everything. We want to get in a time machine and go back in time. You can't turn the clock back. We spend our whole life, if I could change things, if I could turn back time, if I could roll the clock back, if I could roll the clock back, if I could roll the clock back, if I could, the devil would love for us to live our life saying this, if I could roll the clock back, if I could roll the clock back, if I could change things, if this one thing could change, guess what? It can't roll backwards. It will never roll backwards. The clock runs forward, forward. You can't turn back time, but you can live for the Lordship of Jesus Christ starting right now. Yes. Right now. Can't do nothing about the dominoes that have already fallen. Consequences, pain, wound, hurt, collateral damage. But you can stop the dominoes right now through the cross of Jesus Christ. And they can be tipped over in a new direction. Because the fourth thing is that this whole Bible is a book about God's grace and redemption towards people that made bad decisions and God gave them a future. They woke up one day with regret. Why did I do that? And you know what they decided to do? They decided to repent. It's a fantastic word. It's a 2009 word. Because what you don't repent of, you will repeat. Regret, repent, and God restored and gave them a refreshing moment and did more than they could have ever imagined. You say, Dino, what do I do for friends that make poor choices? Four words. The first one is be patient with them. Just like you want people to be patient with you, be patient with them. Well, what do I do with a grown child who's making bad decisions? Love them. Love doesn't mean you condone. Love doesn't mean you agree, but you love them with the agape love of God. Love is truth. Love is telling the truth. Be patient. Love them. Can I tell you the third thing that's real important for friends who are making bad decisions? Forgive them. Maybe tell your story of how God forgave you when you made a bad decision. When somebody says, man, I've made some bad decisions, don't look at them and say, well, you just got issues, man. Have you ever made any? Not really. I'm pretty got it together. I mean, I'm next to perfect. Tell them how God forgave you when you made a stinky choice. And then the last one is give them hope. Give them hope. I think people need hope because I believe there are so many people that we care about that feel like that their decision maker is broke. And all they could do is make bad ones. It's just switched on bad. Tell them how God gave you a reset. How God let you restart. Helped you. Aren't you glad for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ? The Bible says His mercies are new every day over poor and bad choices. You say, well, Dino, you never told us your bad choice. Told everybody at lunch. Can you tell us? I'll tell you mine. It's embarrassing. But I'm going to tell you. It may help somebody. I guess it was about 18 years ago, Delenn and I were in between a church opportunity, and we had left the church that we were serving at. We were in this situation of in between. And I've never shared this story. And we didn't know what to do. Got a lot of offers, a lot of opportunities. A lot of people gave us opportunities and situations, and Delenn and I packed up one month, and this was about 6 months before the church started, Healing Place Church started. So we didn't know what we wanted to do. We had no idea that we could ever have this type of opportunity. So we loaded up, went to Chicago one weekend, went to a church, amazing church, kicking church. They gave us an offer to be their student pastors and then be a part of the worship team. And great opportunity. We just, wow, couldn't believe it. It was just phenomenal. I could never dream of us being here. Chicago. This huge city reached millions of people. I mean, the promises that were made. Maybe this could be the dream. Went to church the next day. Great church. About a day later, as we were loading up to come home, we sat and talked. And even though on the outside it looked like a dream, something on the inside was like, I have a peace. It was one of those things you wish you could do. Like, maybe I can make it happen. Maybe just make myself like it. I like it. But it's God. But it wasn't. We didn't have a peace. And her and I prayed and we fasted and we said, you know what? This is not God for our life. So for the next couple of months, we looked around and said, what is God? We don't know what God wants us to do. And we had other opportunities. And guess what happened? They all dried up. All of our opportunities went away. And here we are a couple months away from that opportunity. And there's nothing. And we're just waiting on God. Almost like it was misery. Waiting on God. So we were at a church. And that church said that that pastor communicated to me that they had never hired nobody at that church in Chicago. And he indicated to me, you know, that pastor always wanted you to work for him. But I know he's calling someone. He's hiring somebody. He's in the process right now of hiring someone right now. And that job's not going to be available anymore. Delena, I left Atlanta and we sat in our car and we talked ourselves into calling him and telling him we wanted that job. Even though he knew he was talking to somebody else. Because we got so panicky and nervous, fear, impatience. Had to take things under our own hands. Because God didn't know what he was doing, obviously. We've been unemployed for 8 weeks, 10 weeks. I called him on the phone. Hey, Pastor Dino Glenn, you wouldn't believe this. We feel like it's the Lord. We've been in the car 45 minutes. We've talked ourselves into it. So we feel like we're supposed to come there, be your youth pastors, live our life in Chicago. Thank you very much. He said, that's interesting. I'm in the conversation with someone. You happen to know them, et cetera, et cetera. Can you call me back? I got in the car and we rode a little bit. I started getting a sick feeling. You ever have that sick feeling like, what in the world have we done? You remember that sick feeling? It was a horrible feeling. We were in that blue Celica. That was miserable. We stopped in Florence, South Carolina, and I called him back on the phone. Hey, Pastor, this is Dino. Just wanted to call you and see, did you make your decision? We're just so excited. And he told me on the phone, he said, I'm so sorry. I've hired the other guy. You're not supposed to be here. Dylan was sitting in the car looking like, I'm on the payphone. He hung up the phone. I did not hang up the phone. I kept acting like I was on the phone because I had no idea, what am I going to tell my wife? I have just led us into the worst decision we have ever made. How did I let that happen? I stood there and all I heard was the enemy saying, you have missed God forever and ever and ever. I stood in that phone booth. You know what I heard the enemy tell me? You have ruined your life. Everyone will know your indecisiveness. Everyone will know about this mistake that you've made. I sat in the car and I told her. And we both cried for several days. Because we made a bad choice. That was just months before Healing Place Church started. I believe God Almighty was looking down. He was crafting Healing Place Church. Be patient, son. I'm not through with you yet. You still got some issues. He's crafting it. All of a sudden, somebody alerted him. Dino is panicking. Oh, God. I am God. I mean to say it like that. And here he saw us driving on Interstate 20 to Columbia. What are they doing? They called who? And in that moment, God zapped that pastor. No, Dino is the plague. The plague. Because when I first called him, I thought it was a done deal, baby. I'm your man. Look at it, total package. Dylan sings. Oh. Hire us. No. Why? He saw what I couldn't see. And in spite of my poor choices, my bad decisions, God in His sovereignty, in spite of myself, trying to bring my own demise, was merciful. What if He'd have said yes my whole life? So 6 months later, 4 months later, Dylan and I start a little church called Trinity Christian Center. And here we are 18 years later, totally blown away that we get to do this. One choice, one decision. I saw that pastor 2 weeks ago. I started talking to him, and he stopped me when I was talking. He said, "Isn't it amazing what God has done through Healing Place Church?" He said, "It's so God what He's done." He started that church, and you know what I remember? You know what I figured out? While we're talking, he didn't remember. He did not remember that crazy trance phone call panicky kid that was calling him trying to do something that wasn't God. He didn't even remember it. All he remembered was what is now. There's a word in the Bible called justification. It's what Jesus does through the cross. Do you know what that word means? Just as if it never happened. Somebody ought to shut your eyes right now, and you ought to thank God for His mercy in spite of your bad decision.